Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you candy. Come on to my house, to my house. I'm gonna give you an apple and a plum and an apricot or two. Hey.
Welcome to Food for Thought. Join us for a thought-provoking glimpse into the world of the food that we savor. Meet the women and men who are growing it, foraging for it, raising it, cooking it, and who share it with the rest of us. Today we have two guests in the studio. We have Travis Franco, and he's a sophomore at Eureka High School and has a beekeeping and honey business. And Kyle Shamp teaches in the agriculture program at Eureka High School. So Travis, how old are you?
I'm 16 years old.
16 years old. How did you decide to take classes in the ag program at Eureka High School?
Well, I've always liked thinking about ag stuff. I was really interested in plants and farming when I was younger. Well, that's how I decided to take Mr. Shamp's Ag Science in the 8th grade. I had no clue what FFA was before that, and he really introduced me that and got me interested.
Do you come from a farming family, or did you have a house in town?
We live out in the suburbs, but my family isn't really any agricultural at all.
Okay. So this is all new for you, this idea of pursuing careers in agriculture.
It was.
And how did you learn about beekeeping and decide to do a bee project?
Well, again, Mr. Shamp has regularly talked about his brother, who's a professional beekeeper. And I just thought it'd be really cool if I could do it too. And my family has talked about getting bees before, so I thought it was a great idea.
And did you take beekeeping classes?
Well, my mother's coworker, Diana Fries, is a beekeeper, and she's really just mentored me and brought me up.
Oh, it's great to have a mentor. It's just so you can ask questions on a day-to-day basis when things come up along the way.
It is.
When you first decided to do it, what sort of equipment did you need to get, and what other things did you need to buy to get started?
Well, first, I definitely needed a bee veil.
Yeah, first thing.
And then I got a smoker for my bees.
And the smoker helps to kind of make them a little more passive, is that right?
It does. The smoke coming from it imitates a wildfire, which they go in and try to save and gorge on their honey so they can survive instead of bothering you.
Oh, nice. I like that redirect. That sounds great. So you had to get the veil and you got the smoker to start with. Did you have a beehive or did you get one from somebody else?
I bought a beehive and Diana Fries actually got my bees for me.
Good. Because, yeah, you have to start with some bees and a queen bee to start with.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay. So you, she helped you order those and get those here.
Yeah. She brought me a package to my new beehive. She helped me install it.
Good. That seems like a tricky sort of thing to do for the first time.
It is.
So you started keeping bees, and where did you put your hives? Are they just in your yard in Eureka?
I keep one of my hives at the side of my house, and while I was out camping over the summer, my hive swarmed, and that is when a colony grows too big for its container. Half of the bees go off to find a new home. And Diana Fries came out to my house and collected the swarm, so she actually has another one of my hives in Fortuna.
And I know that bees, they go out and, you know, a lot of places will put out bees for pollinating crops. Do your bees pollinate any crops, do you think?
I can't really be sure, and I don't use them for that intended purpose. But I have seen them all over strawberries, and my apple tree has been especially.
Oh, okay. Pollinated. That seems like that's important. And do you know how far they go to forage? Do they go a long distance?
They go around 5 miles.
Five miles.
That's why it's difficult to know what time of honey I'm getting in, where they're pollinating.
Oh, I can see why. Yeah. So when you go to get your honey, what is that process like?
It's an extensive process, and it's really not labor-intensive, but time-consuming. So basically, first, you have to harvest the honey from the hive, get the frames out, and take them into an enclosed area where the bees won't bother you.
Oh, yeah.
Then you have to peel off the wax cappings, because they cap the honey. And then you have to put it in an extractor, and it spins all the honey out. And then you drain it from the extractor into different mesh bags, and where it drains propolis and maybe little specks of dirt and even dead bees from the honey.
Oh, okay. So it filters out some of that stuff so you don't end up with parts in there that you're not really sure what they are.
Yes.
That's good. And now have you started to sell your honey to people?
I have. My father has sold honey and honey butter through his work, and I've sold honey and also honey butter at my school.
What's honey butter?
Honey butter is pretty self-explanatory. It's honey mixed with part butter.
Oh, and you just kind of whip it together and then spread that on toast and stuff. That sounds delicious.
It is delicious. It really is.
Okay. What do your friends think about you having this project in this business? Is that unusual, or do you have other friends who are involved in ag?
Well, I have lots of friends who are involved in ag, and all of them do other amazing, crazy things. But knowing that I'm a beekeeper, me first telling them, they send me. Tend to be pretty shocked. A lot of them don't like playing with venomous insects.
But once you kind of explain to them that you've got the equipment and that they're pretty calm. Have you ever been stung by a bee?
I have never been stung, but it's coming.
You must be doing it well.
That's much better than my brother.
Uh-oh. So Kyle, your brother's a beekeeper, and he's been stung a few times, huh?
Yes, and because I worked for the beekeeper who owns the business. I worked for him first, and then my brother was kind of between jobs. So he started working for him and loved it. And when he first got stung, he got stung in the wrist. It swelled huge. He had a lot of reactions to it. But now he's been stung so many times, he's built up immunity to it.
Oh, that's good.
So there we go,
maybe.
Travis.
So what are some of the other projects that some of your students are working on? Maybe some of your seniors are working on projects.
Some of the projects that we have going on. So I teach shop, so a lot of the projects are done in there. We're actually going to be starting projects pretty soon. I'm going to have some students build a trailer barbecue because we do a lot of tri-tip fundraisers, a lot of barbecuing. So that's going to be one. Last year I had a student, he actually built a dune buggy in my shop class.
Wow.
We always really encourage kids to raise animals for the fair, sheep, pigs, steers when they have a little bit of experience. Pretty cool project that one of our kids has is he bought a goat a couple years ago, and he bred it, he expanded his herd, and now he's actually he wants to rent them out for ground control or
brush control. Sure,
because we've heard of people in Santa Rosa doing that.
Yeah,
and one guy, his herd grew so big for that he actually had to quit college to maintain the herd. And
because
so
he had a job, he had
and I know
profession.
Brody won't do that, but it's just something that's really cool.
I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize. Well, especially, we're seeing these wildfires all over the state of California, and brush control is a huge issue. People who have goats tend to have less brush around their houses.
Yeah.
Some people are making more money on that than the real original reason they got into raising goats.
Yeah. And then we actually have a couple of students, because through the FFA, you need to have some sort of project. And we had one student for forestry last year. He actually wrote up his project. We submitted it to the state level. And out of all the forestry type projects throughout the entire state, he was in the top three. So he got to go on to our state conference. And then he ended up, I think, getting second or third. But if he would have gotten first, he would have gone to nationals. So he's like, this year, he's going to win.
This year, he's going to do it. Yeah.
And then we have another kid. He works for Nielsen's. And so with all the work that he does there, he moved on to state also. He was in the top three for ag mechanics or ag production. And so he wants to win it too this year. He's
That's
like, I got
great.
That close.
So enthusiastic. That's a wonderful thing to see. Well, as I always tell people, if we want to continue to eat in this country, we need to encourage young people to get into agriculture.
Mm-hmm.
This is Jennifer Bell, and I've had the pleasure of talking with Travis Franco, who's a sophomore at Eureka High School, and Kyle Shamp, who teaches in the agriculture program at Eureka High School. Thank you so much, both of you,
Thank
for coming
you.
Today.
Thank you.
Grapes and the cakes, hey, come on to my house, come on.
If you have any questions or comments about this program, please call the listener comment line at 826-6089. You can hear this broadcast again at the KHSU website under archived programs at khsu.org. This program is also available on iTunes. Food for Thought is produced in the KHSU studios located at Humboldt State University. Our engineer is Jessica Eden, and producer is Jennifer Bell. Join us again next Friday on KHSU for another edition of Food for Thought during the KHSU homepage.